Hey, it's Pete Krull, and I am back with another episode of Dollars and Change, the expert's guide to sustainable and responsible investing. And I am here with my friend Elizabeth Alfano, and she runs VegTech Funds, I guess is what the name of the firm is.
VegTech Invest.
Invest, sorry about that.
So close.
And they have a really, really unique concept, and we want to learn more about it. Let's start out by telling me a little bit about yourself and how you got into the investment industry and what your background is.
Yes, wonderful. So I've been working in sustainable food systems transformation for quite a while. Uh-huh. I was a chief investment officer for a small family office.
Okay.
And I was also doing consulting work, helping large multinationals shift to sustainable food products, take advantage of white spaces in the marketplace where they could have sustainable impact and be leaders therein. I also was partaking in the venture market myself, investing in those companies
right.
that I really thought would move the needle. But venture's risky.
Mm-hmm.
Venture's not liquid. Venture's not diversified. Certainly wasn't going to put my family office in that. So I looked to the public markets. I know that food systems transformation is coming.
Right.
I know it sort of, I'll just use a cultural reference. We've all probably seen The Big Short, and everyone says, how can you believe that mortgages are going to fail? But those who had done the research knew, and I know that food systems transformation, the current food system that we
right.
have, is not only unsustainable, it can't feed the amount of people we have on the planet now, let alone the 2 billion more that we're getting as Africa and Asia increase in population. We don't have enough land and we don't have enough water. I'm sure we'll get into that. So I know that this tremendous shift is happening, and I know that we create wealth when there is seismic shift,
mm-hmm.
like going from the horse and buggy to the car, or the
right.
landline to the cell phone. That's when real wealth is created, not because a company has 3% more revenue one year or not. It's these cataclysmic shifts,
yeah.
and I know that's coming. So I look to the public markets to see where I could put my money for something liquid, diversified, less risky. I couldn't find it. So that's when I started, along with my partner, Dr. Sasha Goodman, the EATV ETF.
So you answered my second question. So first is usually background. Second is what made that transformation for you. So that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's excellent. And so obviously, one of the things that I like to talk about in my talks is sort of the Wayne Gretzky rule, skate to where the puck is going, not to where it's been.
Yeah. Yes.
And it sounds like that's really what you guys are doing. So let's talk a little bit more about how you're accomplishing your goal here. Then I also want to get into a little bit more of what are the statistics? Why do we need to be pushing forward in this?
Yes, sure. So our goal is we are an impact fund. So maybe I'll talk a little bit about our methodology.
Absolutely.
That's not too
that's
much
great.
Of a deep dive for everybody here. So first of all, we screen out bad actors, and in the food scenario, there have been bad actors in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Really, if we want to be awfully blunt about it,
you can be
real,
blunt.
Okay,
I'm
real
blunt all the time.
Real agriculture was built practically on slavery.
Yep.
And we know that. So we look for any bad actors and we take them out. Then mostly we screen in for those companies that are innovating to create sustainable change. So they're getting rid of inefficiencies in the market. And we'll talk about the inefficiencies. It's amazing that the system is still propped up by subsidies and other protections, because it is an inefficient system. So innovating to replace these inefficiencies and these environmental atrocities. So we look for those agents of change. Then we look at all of the financials. Who's got solid revenue? Who's got EBITDA growth? Who's got good revenue coming in? Then we make sure we screen out any other ESG. Obviously, there's no arms or no nuclear weapons
right,
or things like
right.
this. Just for-profit prisons. It's probably a natural. You would understand that, but just I'll say it anyway.
But in a conglomerate, you might find multiple different lines of business.
Subsidies, et cetera.
Right.
Or, subsidiaries, et cetera. You never know what's in that basket. So
right.
we do look for that. And then we just make sure that it plays well in an ETF. So that's kind of where we're headed with our ETF, EATV. So we look for that.
Is it an actively managed ETF?
Yes.
Okay,
it
excellent.
Is. In this dynamic sector that's just popping up. In fact, your audience, which is probably a pretty educated audience on the markets, you're probably seeing more and more in the press about the environmental impact of our global food supply system. So maybe we can talk about that.
Let's go on to that.
Okay.
You can just interview yourself here. This is perfect.
I speak around the globe, including the United Nations, on food systems transformation, and everywhere in between, from Yale and Bloomberg Intelligence.
Well,
anyways, I love to do this.
And I love your energy. So this is great.
Well, so let's get into that. Why is the global food system going to be disrupted? Well, 32% of the world's global methane emissions, 32, mm-hmm. come from animal factories. You simply will not impact climate change in the time we need to do it if you don't address that number.
Yep.
Now, of course, it's all hands on deck. Of course, we're still doing alternative energy, electric vehicles, alternative building materials. But food has more of a greenhouse gas emissions impact than all transportation yep. combined. That's cars, aviation, et cetera. We look at deforestation, so here at this conference, can I say where we are?
Yeah, we're actually, I should have said this at the start. We're at the ESG for Impact conference out just outside of Boulder, Colorado. So you can, I think that they've got some mountains behind us here that are fake mountains. But yeah, that's where we are. Go ahead.
And we love them, and it's been a great conference.
Yeah.
And there was a great panel on biodiversity immediately after my panel on food systems transformation. Biodiversity was basically an alternative food systems panel in a way, because they were saying we must get at least to the inflection point of 10% of alternative proteins so that we can stop deforesting. So according to the United Nations Environment Program, the global leader of deforestation and biodiversity loss, it is our food system based on animal agriculture. So let's get even more into the weeds than these statistics.
Can I go there? Let's do it.
Businesses care about efficiency. Businesses are rewarded for efficiency. In fact, this is why we love capitalism. This is what capitalism does really well. It takes a problem and it solves it at scale. Let's look at our problem. So we cut down trees and we monocrop pretty much soy, alfalfa, wheat. Do we give that food to people? Food that has protein and fiber. No, we give it to animals who need land, water, time. Oh, they need more food. Got to cut down more trees. Still not giving that food to people. We're talking about a long supply chain, an inefficient supply chain. You could deforest less. Grow proteins like legumes, which are wonderful cover crops.
Mm-hmm.
Either eat the legumes straight away, or they've been doing that in Latin America forever, rice and beans, or take those legumes and turn them into alternative proteins that taste like burgers and steaks, and all that innovation is coming, and more. We can talk about innovation if you want.
Absolutely.
So you would use less land. You would use less water. It would take less time. Ultimately, the equation we have to solve for in this incredibly inefficient, high cost of goods sold equation, we have to feed more people in a shorter amount of time that's more nutritious, using fewer resources, and creating less damage. That is a recipe for disruption,
yeah.
and it's imminent.
And our population isn't going down anytime soon. And so we need to make sure that we have the scale to feed, 10 billion people in the very near future.
Yes. Can I get into even deeper dive?
Please.
Details. So you think, well, all right, that is kind of a long, inefficient equation, but it's been kind of working for us in the past. And it did work when we had 4 billion, 5 billion people. But we're 8 billion people, mm-hmm. and we're going to 10 billion people. We're not getting more land, and we're not getting more water. Well, let's go into the details. It takes 25 to 35 calories of crop to get 1 calorie of cow. It takes 16 to get 1 calorie of pig. It takes 7 to 9 to get 1 calorie of chicken. That's the best you'll ever see. Well, who says I'm going to invest $2.50 to get a dime back? And
this
is, these are awful investment equations. So why is this important? Well, you might think, changing food systems, I guess it's that young do I call them Gen Alpha now? Wait, Gen X. Wait, hold on. Millennials, then we have Gen Z, then
I think it's Gen Alpha. Yeah, it's Alpha.
Gen Alpha.
Yep.
Okay, and one might assume it's younger generations. It is. It's also older generations who want healthier options, mm-hmm. meat not having fiber, having a lot of saturated fats, so not a great option for you if you're concerned about heart disease, diabetes, colorectal cancer.
Yep.
But it's not just the consumer. It's industry. So the meat industry can make a lot more money by tightening up that cost of goods sold equation.
Right.
And they're under enormous scrutiny because right now they externalize their water use. 42% of the world's clean water is used by animal agriculture. That's on top of the 41% of the world's deforestation. So they're under a magnifying glass from the SEC for their scopes 1, 2, and 3 emissions. We saw that California on Governor Newsom's desk, it was passed by both houses. Now Governor Newsom is expected to sign that all businesses, private or public, over $1 billion are going to have to divulge scope 1, 2,
and 3. By the time this airs, that'll probably be done.
That'll probably be done. So some say so goes California, so goes the world. So we'll see how this influences the SEC. And the point is, industry under an enormous microscope, they dump into our waters. JBS has been sued by the state of Illinois for dumping into the river. They get away with quite a lot.
Well, and JBS is an interesting one to talk about as well, because they're trying to go public right now.
Yes, they are.
And they've got a lot of pushback about their practices.
Yes, because they are truly a bad actor, if you will. But I don't want to pick on them here, just to say that these industries have enormous externalities. Just the ammonia from the massive animal factories pollutes our air. This creates higher health care costs. So there's these externalities to society that they're no longer going to be able to get away with.
Right.
So that's coming to, so they know they have to change, and then governments know they have to feed people. You can't be elected into office if you're not feeding people. So pressure on governments, you see it coming from Biden, putting more money into the biotech, and we can talk about these technologies because they're super fun, but biotech and biotech manufacturing. You're seeing Israel invest, China invest. You don't have a strong trade stance if the person you are negotiating against controls your food. We control China's food. So whoever controls food controls national security for themselves. Food IP is going to be a big deal. It's really a question of national security. So Germany, the Netherlands, Singapore, Canada, the United States, EU, all investing in alternative proteins. So what does this mean? This means at the same time, perhaps for different reasons, but at the same time, you have all three key stakeholders wanting the same thing: consumers, governments, and industry, all moving towards change.
Right.
That's seismic shift.
Well, and one thing that I like to talk about as well is that sustainable investing, which is how I would define what you do, is really the definition of growth investing.
Yes.
It's really investing in where the economy is going. It's investing in moving into a next economy, if you will, if I can grab a phrase from our friends at Green Alpha. So how do you portray what you do in a much shorter version, because you don't get this much time typically. How do you portray what you do?
Yes, we are leading the market in sustainable food systems transformation by investing in those companies that are innovating for better solutions for protein for the world.
Give me two or three examples of companies that are in the portfolio that, that are your favorites, that are really making bold innovations.
Yes. I'll tell you, we see the real growth and wealth opportunity is in the supply chain. So for lack of a better expression, the picks and shovels. So for us, we're looking at that supply chain all the way from the beginning. So we might even start with ag tech, vertical farms, greenhouses, sustainable fertilizers, to those companies with innovations and novel technologies like Ginkgo Bioworks. They're licensing this IP to others who can ferment proteins. We'll talk about that in a second.
That's cool, yeah.
It is super cool.
Yeah, I know. I've seen Ginkgo Bioworks, yeah.
Yeah, super cool, super cool. Then we go to the ingredient companies. We're going to have to stop monocropping soy, so you're going to need novel ingredients for novel innovation in food products. Then we go to the the flavor and texture companies like Givaudan. I'll talk about them out of Switzerland in just a second. They're one of my very, very favorite darling companies.
Just because you like the name Givaudan.
I used to live in Paris, so I get to say that with the real French accent. I just think they're the coolest investors around, the CapEx that they're putting in. We'll talk about CapEx too in a second. I don't know if you get a chance to edit this later, but I've got some great slides and visuals for you about the money and the return on these kind of things. But so Givaudan in flavor and texture. Then we go to the consumer packaged goods. We don't actually have too many of those consumer packaged goods. It's expensive to get on the shelf. It's volatile. I got to spend a lot of money on a brand, but we do have some of them. And then we also have materials in the fund.
Okay.
So you might say, well, we're 80% food and 20% materials. But we see if you're making less beef, you're making less leather. From the venture market, where I originally come from, we see alternative materials right on the back of alternative proteins.
Yep.
And that acts as a little bit of a hedge, for lack of a better word, in the fund, because they don't move it the same way.
Right.
And this is one of the benefits of the fund. Of course, we've got the liquidity of the markets, but enormous diversification. We're global. We're up and down the supply chain. We're diversified over food and materials. We kind of split ourselves a third, a third, a third, large cap, mid cap, small cap. It might surprise people to know there are no nano caps. So there are some good actors We'll talk about Givaudan, really well established in the market, making change. And these are the companies that, you know, it's not the same Apple, Microsoft, et cetera. So
absolutely.
Diversification there.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And, you know, it's not something obviously that you're going to put your whole portfolio in, but it is a wonderful complement to a well-diversified portfolio because, again, this is, the, like I said earlier, this is the definition of growth investing. And this is really how you want to sort of add to opportunities because you're not going to find a lot of these companies in the big indexes probably.
Exactly right. We see that a lot of people take two tracks, if you will. Either they have a sustainability sleeve and they say, okay, I've got my climate tech, et cetera, and I'm going to make you a third of my sustainability sleeve. Or they say, I'm going to sell 50% of my small cap and I'm going to replace it with you. So we're great because we're about 70% small mid, so 72%. Okay. So they see that as a nice compliment to maybe what they have going on in the large caps. But if I can talk about Givaudan for a
That's
second.
That's where I was going to go next. Let's do that because then we'll wrap it up and we will...
Wrap it up. Oh, but we're having so much
fun. I know we are.
Okay. Well, then I'll try to squeeze in as much as I can.
Please do.
Givaudan is a large multinational out of Switzerland. They're quite stable. So it's not this volatile...
What's their market cap?
Oh my gosh, in the billions.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very large company. They are focused on flavor and texture, as I've been talking about, but they're not only focused on plant-based proteins, alternative proteins right now, which is great. They're spending on CapEx in cultivated meat plants. That's got like a 6 to 8 year horizon.
Right.
Talk about cultivated meat in a second. In Switzerland, and then they've got plant-based innovation headquarters, if you will, or locations on the West Coast. So they're not just here making proteins for today. They see where the market's going. And this CapEx is important to us because, according to the Boston Consulting Group, if you invest in green technologies, let's say alternative energy, electric vehicles, building materials, plant-based innovation is 3 times to 40 times more impactful at reducing yep. greenhouse gases than the other green investments because the CapEx spend to shift the supply system is a lot lower, which means you can get there faster, which means you can have impact sooner. So we love to see that Givaudan is doing CapEx in cultivated meat. What the heck is cultivated meat? So very quickly, you have, of course, plant-based innovation, plant-based foods. Right now, we can kind of think about what that is, making protein out of fava beans and mung bean and right. things like this, really innovative. And shout out to Beyond Meat, which is doing some cool things with steak and fava bean. But it's also fermented protein. Mm-hmm. So you can take a gene and extract the information that would make casein or whey and grow that casein or whey just directly with the microbes, just right. like ferment it like you would yeast. That's why we see AB InBev also in our portfolio doing great. Where they're the largest fermenter in the world. They've yep. started fermenting proteins. They see where the world is going. So you can do that, or you can just take the whole cell, not just the gene, but the whole cell, and grow that independently so that you ultimately grow a steak or a filet.
And my wife, the microbiologist, would probably be able to explain this like crazy, like in
depth. Deep science.
Yeah, exactly. But it is amazing science to yes. be able to take a cell and suddenly make a steak. It's just
yes.
crazy.
It is crazy, and you think, no, D4, I mean, probably some to create the building, but very little deforestation, yep. very little water use, less energy use. You're not making the blood, the ears, the tail, the hooves. You don't need any of that stuff. No emissions. Pandemic risk, according to the United Nations, top three pandemic risks are all related to eating meat and the intensification of animal factories. So
absolutely.
The societal benefits, the growth opportunity. Have I gotten it all in?
I think you got a lot in.
I sure tried.
You certainly rocked it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Last couple words. Actually, you know what?
Oh.
Don't do that. I've got a better question because
okay.
I ask everybody the same
okay.
question at the last one. Almost forgot. That's what happens when you break 50 and you can't remember anything anymore. So there is a lot of negativity in the news media, everything from especially related to climate change when we're having hurricanes that are hitting California and New England
yes.
now. We've
yes.
got fires. We have got drought, all those things. So in light of all of that negativity that
yes.
is happening, and you obviously are a hopeful person.
I am.
What gives you hope?
I love this. This is what I was going to say, too. Sometimes people say to me, oh, my gosh, you know, there's lobbyists are protecting this industry. It's really well subsidized. It's got some very tough defenders in it, let's mm-hmm. say. How are you ever going to move the needle with these people?
And
I just say,
interests.
Yes.
Yes.
I, I'm hopeful about capitalism. This is where capitalism shines. It doesn't always get great press, but here, this wonderful opportunity to see enormous societal impact. We haven't even scratched the surface on food justice, food insecurity.
Right.
You know, who can afford filet mignon? With cultivated meat, it can be filet mignon for everybody. I am extremely hopeful on the societal benefits as well as the growth opportunity for wealth creation on global food systems transformation. So I just am pretty happy every day.
Excellent. Oh, that's super. Elizabeth Alfano, thank you so much for joining me here today.
I love being here. Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.